Extra Time with Ronan Quirk.
Hello, good evening, and welcome to another edition of Extra Time. My name is Ronan Quirk. We're here until 8 o'clock this evening. We'd love to hear from you. Our text number is 083 311 3311. That number also works for WhatsApp messages, 083 311 3311. Our Twitter handle is at TipFM Sport if you want to use that. Just to let people be aware that we won't have the draws for the county senior football semi-finals tonight, because those draws will take place tomorrow night. The CCC are not meeting tonight, and therefore those draws will not take place tonight for the county senior football semi-finals. Stay listening. Lots of analysis to come on the county football quarterfinals, Tom Cusack Cup, all that as well to come on tonight's show. We've a bit of rugby as well. We've got ladies football. Their semi-finals took place this weekend. Lots of camogie as well. Jerkanan will join us. Greyhound racing as well. Lots of Tipperary trainers making it to the Derby final as well. But lots to reflect on after a busy, busy week of football in the county. Our text number is 083 311 3311. Don't forget as well, we're looking for nominations for the Sports Star of the Month for September, the Tip FM Sports Star of the Month, in association with the Talbot Hotel Clonmel and Quirk Jewellers in Care. We have loads of great nominations over the course of the last couple of months, some great winners as well, and nominations already coming in for the Sports Star in September. If you know of somebody who is worthy of a nomination, just send us an email to sportstar@tipfm.com. That's sportstar@tipfm.com. Our text number as well, 083 311 3311. Well, Loughmore Castleinnie are the holders of the county senior football title, and they're into a semi-final after a hard fought win over Kilsheel and Kilcash yesterday. After that not yesterday actually it was Saturday I should say I'm forgetting my days but anyway after the match, Tip FM's Paul Carroll caught up with Frank Guy McGrath, the Loughmore Castleinnie manager, who was understandably relieved after a tough battle against Kilsheel.
Oh sure, absolutely delighted, like, you know what I mean, that it's a typical Loughmore Castleinnie Kilsheelan match, like, so it was, you know, generally pretty physical, so it is, but I don't think plenty of skill in it, like, there as well now today, so yeah, look, we're delighted. Last year we scraped by in that encounter by a point. Today there was, what, two in it today? Points. Like, yeah, so, but a typical Loughmore Kilsheelan match, yeah.
Yeah, and I suppose Kilsheelan started off on fire, like, four points in a row, near 4 points, no score down, but she came back well. You must have been happy with how the team kind of responded. There was never really any panic in the team at all.
Well, there mightn't have been panic in the team, but I'm not sure, there was no panic out where I was. But I know, look, Kilsheelan got out of the blocks very early, yeah, and they were playing a smashing brand of football. But look, sure, we'd have to compliment our lads, like, under response, like, and yeah, I suppose the bit of experience is there, like, and we walked our way back into it, yeah.
Yeah, and the goal, I suppose, was a big thing for you in the first half. Brian McGrath drove up straight through the middle of the field, gave off that hand pass to John Ryan, and a great finish. So that was probably the big score you needed at that time, I suppose.
Well, sure, in a tight game in football, especially, like, a goal is going to be a big, big score, like, you know what I mean? And it gave us that little bit of breathing space, and, you know, and fair play to Kilsheelan, and they've done everything in their power, like, to turn it around, but I think it just gave us that little bit of something to hang on to, and sure, it proved vital in the finish.
Yeah, and I suppose late on in the first half you were caught with Willie Everson, what looked like a hamstring injury, I'd say. Was it, what kind of state is he in, having come off early?
Yeah, well, Willie will be fine, like, so he will have he has one of these old things, yeah, that he manages, and he manages very well, like, but there's, look, I'd be certain will you be fine for next weekend, yeah.
Yeah, and John Maher was another one. He didn't start, he'd done the warm up with you and then came on with about 10 minutes or so to go. Is he should be kind of back? I just know games are coming so thick and fast at this time of year, you'd want to be carrying any sort of niggles, really.
Yeah, well, that's what you're a lot of those players, like, have had very long seasons, like, you know what I mean? So it's something I've been saying for quite some time, like, is that the split season as it stands, there's a little bit of tweaking required there, like, you know what I mean? Because if you have inter-county players, and, like, I mean, it's no secret, like, that the Tipperary senior hurling team is preparing already for next season, you know. And then they go slap bang in, you know, a very, very intense season. And then there's a very, very intense club season to come behind it, like. So you know, it does need a little bit of looking at, like you said. Something where has to be found, like, that the inter-county guys get some little bit of a breather before the serious club stuff starts.
Yeah,
you know, I said, I don't have all the answers, like, but I'd be hoping somebody would have a look at it and see what can be done.
Yeah, and I suppose you're rolling through to the semi-finals now, and next weekend you've the quarter-finals. Drummond Inch is the next task up, but I suppose you're kind of used to it this time of year. Matches that week in, week out is normal to you, I suppose.
It isn't just us, like. I mean, sure, Brackens and Upper Church were playing a big match today, like, and say Brackens in particular played last weekend, like, as well. You know, it's a Brackens hour after having a pretty hectic schedule, like, so they're beginning to, I suppose, realise a little bit, like, what we had going on last year. But Brackens have been through it before as well. Upper Church the same, you know what I said. They know the value of playing the two sports.
Yeah.
They know the value, like, okay, there is always the risk, like, that you pick up a few knocks a week before a big game, like. But you ask the players, like, what do the players want? The players want matches. They want the matches coming one after another, like. You know, there's a few other big clubs around the county would love to be where Brackens and Drummond Inch and Loughmore and Upperchurch are at present, like, so they are. You know, so look, the lads are enjoying it. That is the most important thing about it. Like, is it tough going? Yes, it's tough going, like, so it is, but we're looking forward to the few weeks and we'll see where it takes us.
That's Frankie McGrath speaking to Paul Carroll after their 2-point hard fought win over Kilsheel and Kilcash. Martin Quinlivan's on the line. Good evening to you, Martin.
Evening, Ronan, how are you?
Very well, looking forward to the draws tomorrow night, in case people are listening out for draws tonight. We don't have them tonight, the CCC are meeting tomorrow night. Martin, I just want to read a text to you before we get into the nuances or the specifics of the matches and the quarterfinals. One texter says, there might be an argument for reducing the number of senior football clubs, but three of the quarterfinals were very close, and with a bit of luck, Ardfin and Kilsheelan could have been in the semi-final draw along with Commercials and Upperchurch. But at the end of the day, the top three are still there. That kind of sums up the weekend, doesn't it?
It does, absolutely. I think Ardfinnan in particular, and even Kilsheelan, as you said, Ronan, will, you know, they'll have big regrets about their respective defeats. I mean, Ardfinnan did pretty much everything but beat my Rovers.
5 points up with three quarters of the match played, I think.
Yeah, they did, and we're playing. Now, it was probably, you know, it was a low-intensity enough game. There didn't seem to be a lot happening, but my Rovers were struggling, really, to kind of get a foothold. And suddenly, the kind of Ardfinnan kick out kind of deserted them, shall we say, and a couple of substitutes that my Rovers brought on, Danny Owens, Killian Crowe, made big contributions. I think both kicked 2 points. Killian Crowe also forced a very critical close in free, and suddenly in the twinkling of an eye that 5-point lead evaporated, and you know, my Rovers edged a point ahead, and even though there was 8 or 9 minutes of injury time played, it was the very last kick of the game that, you know, the right man Michael Barlow, in fairness to him, he'd been immense all through. He ended up with the chance to maybe tie the game up and bring it to probably extra time, which Ardfinnan would have at least deserved, and the ball just tailed wide, and you know, my Rovers live to another day, but they'll know that performance won't see them go any further. They'll have to up it big time in the semi-final, as you said, irrespective of the draw. Kilsheelan, yeah, they drew level with Loughmore with 10 minutes to go, and in fairness to Loughmore, probably used all their guile. They just closed off the avenues to the scoring zone, and Kilsheelan ended up kind of snatching shots from far out at the touchline, a couple of frees very far out, didn't convert them, and you know, Loughmore came up the field twice. Noel McGrath with a gorgeous point. And again, contributions off the bench. Darren McCahy, Aidan Ryan kicked points off the bench. And, you know, that was enough to see Loughmore over that Kilsheelan challenge. But definitely, yeah, on another day, you could see Ardfinnan and Kilsheelan in the semi-final draw. But, you know, at the start of the year, we definitely picked three of the four. And, you know, we were right. Probably everybody felt Brackens would be the fourth one. But Upper Church deservedly put pay to that.
Yeah, and Upper Church, you know, on this programme, we've been commending Brackens a little bit about how they're, you know, they're learning from near neighbours Loughmore Castellani, and how to, you know, the dual players, the two panels, all that sort of stuff, the way that they're able to combine the football and hurling so well. credit to our Upper Church Dunban, who are doing the exact same thing. They've got a Dan Breen quarterfinal against Bracken next weekend. They've just beaten Bracken's in the senior football quarterfinal, so they're going weekend in and one on top of the other as well.
I remember they were quarterfinalists in both again last year as well. Interestingly, actually, the four teams in the semi-final at the football all have big hurling matches this weekend. If you take Commercials and St Mary's with a huge crossover of players, my Rovers are a junior hurling quarterfinal, having won the South Junior Hurling. Again, a huge crossover of players. So all four clubs face big hurling matches this weekend before they can, you know, turn their attention to the big ball. But yeah, Upper Church, I think they deserve commitment and fairness. I saw them play against Commercials tonight, and I was hugely taken with how driven they were, both on the field and indeed with their mentors. They were very committed, and you know, at the circumstances, they had won their first two games in Dan Breen by then, and they had won their first game in the football. They had a third game against Killinall coming up, and you know, probably I might have thought maybe they might have said against Commercials, look, we'll throw a swing but see. But they were really up for it, and took Commercials a long time to kind of pull away from them in the second half with a couple of goals. And I was really taken by how motivated they were, and it wasn't a huge surprise to me that Upper Church prevailed in that match against the Brackens.
Yeah. It'll be fascinating to see what happens next weekend when the same bunch of players swap codes and go at it again. But Brackens, or for Upper Church, I should say, a huge congratulations to them. I think that's the first time in a senior football county semi-final.
It is, as far as I can remember anyway, it is, yeah, Ronan. And, welcome addition. You know, it is always good to have a new club come in and shake things up a little bit, and maybe one or two more can maybe follow their lead. It is, and as I said, well-deserved, a real strong, fit team. And, if Bracken's, they tend to play hurling the same way they play football. And, you know, I think if they try the same running game, they might find the same result, because Upper Church are big, strong lads who are fit and athletic, and it's very not that easy to run through them, I can tell you. And sometimes you have to let the ball do the work. And I think Bracken's would probably admit in the football game at the weekend that they didn't do enough of that. And ultimately, a penalty goal from Paul Shanahan, which also saw Bracken's keeper Cooper Bevan getting a black card, was probably the difference. That was the gap that stayed through the full second half. And deservedly in the semi-final with, you know, what have become the big three who've been in the semi-final, I think, in pretty much every year since 2016
I mean, I get a lot of texts in relation to a Liam McGrath point in the second half, Lochmore against Kilchenan. I'm not so sure, did you see that? Are we at it?
No, I was at it. Yeah. I was. I wasn't at a great angle for it. I saw it been disputed, and ultimately the referee gave, you know, referee and his umpires colluded and gave the decision to Lochmore. I'd be honest with you, Ronan. I couldn't honestly say whether it was or not. It wasn't.
I know that's fair enough, but I think angle. What people are but taking issue with is that I think the linesman was suggesting it was wide, but Derek, or the referee, shouldn't have named him. Actually, my apologies. The referee went in and consulted with his umpires, as you said, and made a decision based on, you know, the advice he was given.
He did. And look, that's what the referee is there for, isn't he? To make decisions, and you know, some he'll agree with and some he'll disagree with. Isn't that the story?
Well, they won't always be right.
But look, ultimately, I think Lochmore won by two anyway. Yeah. And as I said, 10 minutes to go, Lochmore looked tired, and Kilchenan had all the energy, but Lochmore just reverted to guile. They, as I said, they closed off all the avenues to getting into the scoring zone, and Kilchenan, now they. Big performances. Mark Keogh was very good. Barry Keogh was good. Bill Maher looked really, really fit and back to his best, which was brilliant to see. So they'd be happy that there's the basis there to build on, but they really did need...
They'd be sick a lot more, though.
They do need a breakthrough. They do. And, a breakthrough for any of the emerging teams in football means taking the scalp of one of the big three. And, they had their chance. It was there for them, but just that bit of experience and guile that Lochmore have built up over the last 10 years now.
Yeah.
Stood to them, in fairness to them, you know.
There's two things that I think that kind of come out of the Mile Rovers Art Finning game. One is, you know, are Mile Rovers not at the pitch that they're clearly not at the pitch they need to be at for semi finalists at this stage, but they probably won't be as bad the next day as they were in the quarter final. And Art Finning have closed that gap, so you're going to have to give some credit, I think, to Tom McGlinchey.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And some really good performances. Darragh Leary was very, very good. As I said, Michael Barlow was good. And Colm O'Shaughnessy, similar to Bill Maher, looked injury-free and, you know, was a real force in the centre-back position. And yeah, my Rovers, for a lot of the game, they'll admit themselves, they kind of never really got, you know, they never really got after Ard Finnan. And it was only just once Ard Finnan started to kind of creak a little bit with 10 or 12 minutes to go that my Rovers suddenly, without really doing a whole lot, as I said, a couple of inspired substitutions to kind of turn the game for them, to be honest, and you know, suddenly capitalising on what probably Ard Finnan will admit were their own errors, they found themselves level and pushing ahead in the game, and you know, Ard Finnan just couldn't peg them back. So they'll know they'll have to step it up, but isn't that a great way to go into a semi-final? And you know, I mean, you wonder, will they seek to repeat what they did last year, maybe, and see is Peter Atchison available to come home for a weekend holiday? You know, nearly worked last year against no other than Loughmore, and
one foot in the final last year.
You know, Danny Owens is based in London at the moment, and he's been coming home, kicked 2 points yesterday, and I think Rean Quigley was back in the fold again. He'd been away for the summer. So, you know, the forces are getting up. They'll be worried a little bit about an injury that Dermot Foley picked up, big player for them. And, you know, they'll be hoping that ankle injury is, you know, doesn't rule them out of a semi-final, because they need everybody. They need everyone play well. But again, big players, Liam Boland, have been very, very quiet. But in the last 10 minutes, he pops up with two or three great scores. And you know, that's what really good players do when their team needs them.
We haven't mentioned Camel Commercials, who clearly were the better side against Arvale Rovers. Arvale Rovers got a late goal to not even put gloss on that performance, but they'll be bitterly disappointed that they just didn't get a bang of tune out of that team at all.
Yeah, when the draw was made, Ronan, the night the draw was made, we recapped on last year, I think.
We sure did.
To the sword, and it, you know, we said it wouldn't be as easy, and, you know, unfortunately, after about 12 minutes, it was just 2 points each after 12 minutes, and then Commercials kind of scented blood again. They felt that the Arvale kick-out was there to be attacked, and they really did push on, and, you know, pretty much destroyed the Ard Finnan kick-out for the next 20 minutes and capitalised on the scoreboard. And, you know, it was an unassailable lead by half-time. And the second half played out, you know, where Commercials just kept tacking on the points. And Arvale, as you said, didn't register on the scoreboard until a very late goal. And given that Commercials kind of, you know, didn't risk Jack Kennedy, slight bit of a hamstring, could have played, is the word, but, you know, they said they wouldn't start him and they'd see how the game was going and didn't have to use him. And, you know, his brother Connell has, you know, picked up a bit of a back spasm on the morning of the game, so he didn't make it. And there's two county players, Kieran Cannon, a third county player, has got a bit of a hand injury at the moment. You know, they didn't even play, and yet you're kind of cruising through. But look,
yeah, but then Mikey Quinlivan's back as well, like, so.
Yeah, well,
but you lose on the swings again back in the round.
Yeah, and the management have been brave this year. You know, they've relocated Seamus Kennedy into the full back line, and you know, he's a powerful force there. We all admired Brendan Rodgers' role for Derry in the All Ireland Football Championship earlier this year, coming from deep. And Seamus is a better footballer than Brendan Rodgers, and you know, that role he can be hard to stop from there. They'll be very, very pleased with to have a really good fit. And Carl Dealey was very good, and Peter McGarry, I think, started his first championship match for Commercials and contributed 2 points in a lively performance. So they freshened it up a little bit, which they probably felt they needed to do. But they also will remember, I can remember 6-7 years ago, I think they put 123 in an all singing, all dancing performance on Éire Óg and Aircarty in a county senior football quarter final. And in the semi final, they were beaten 7-6 by Loughmore, because Loughmore just shut them down. So they'll know that the task in the next round, irrespective of who they play, is going to be on a totally different level to what Arvale were able to produce on Saturday. And you know, they'll know they'll have to step it up as well.
Am I correct in saying that Commercials can't draw Upper Church in the semi final?
Yeah, I'm not sure. I've heard both sides of that. I know they couldn't have drawn. You can't draw in the quarterfinals.
In the quarterfinals, obviously.
I'd be open to direction on it in terms of the semi final. I don't know, Ronan. But you look, tomorrow night we'll reveal all anyway.
Yeah,
and you know, it'll be irrespective. You know, there's no easy draw in that quartet now.
Nor should there be. It's, you know, it is county semi final.
Absolutely.
I want to talk intermediate. I don't have a lot of time left, but Grange Mokler look impressive. Ballina were the surprise package. What else struck you from the intermediate quarterfinals?
Yeah, we've been kind of drooling, the two of us, over the potential of a Grange Mokler Mullinahone final, and subject to the draw, it's very much on the cards. Yeah, Grange Mokler easily dismissed Feddert, you know, and in fairness to Grange Mokler, they'd only played one game in the group stages and hadn't played for 6 or 8 weeks. So, you know, to be able to produce a performance like that, they'll be very, very happy with. Well, Nahon had a very comfortable and expected victory over the Loughmore sec intermediate team. Golden had a very good win against a very youthful Clamershus team. Clamershus
had lost a few of that team to the seniors, hadn't they?
He had lost five, and then they had a couple of unavailable.
It does, the intermediate
it
team.
Is, but
you know?
I know that commercial mentors were very, very pleased with that. There's an awful lot of under-19s and under-18s playing, and they did really fight. And in fact, missed two great goal chances in the last 5 minutes that probably would have won the game for them. So they'll be happy with that. But Golden back in the semi-final, second year running. You know, Shane O'Connell is a powerful player at intermediate level. Shane Stapleton is still busy in a lot of loose areas. They'll not be easily beaten. I think they've hurled them this weekend at some level as well. So, you know, they'll go. But I think you mentioned it earlier, Ronan. Ballina were probably the story of the Intermediate Championship. Stephen O'Brien was back in harness and scored, I think, 1-5 or 1-6, which is brilliant to see. And, in fact, another player worth mentioning is Jack Brady, the goalkeeper. Jack would have played minor football with Tip and played in the Munster final along with Colin O'Riordan in 2013, 2014. But Jack played in goal for Treaty United on Friday night in the FAI Cup quarter-final victory over UCD. I think they've drawn Derry City now in the semi-final, and then he'll tug out for his club Ballina on Saturday in the Tipperary Intermediate Football Championship.
Is he doing a Martin Quinn living out?
I'm not sure, but he's good lad Jack, and
we've had him on the show actually.
He's good, and you know, with Mikey Breen in the middle of the field, Stephen O'Brien, I think Teddy Bryan missed the game, might be out for a wee bit of time, unfortunately. So, you know, all is positive in Ballina, and they'll be looking forward to the semi-final draw, which will have a huge bearing. I still think Reg Mokler and Malnahone, if they avoid each other in the semi-final, could end up against each other in a mouth-watering final, but Ballina will probably have something to say about that, and even Golden won't be easily dismissed, let me tell you. So again, an interesting championship.
Can I just tell you that during lockdown I did a series of interviews with people, you know, conversations on careers, and I spoke to Paul Curran, and one of the questions I always ask people like Paul is, if there was one game you could go back and change the result of, what would it be? And Paul didn't choose an All-Ireland final. He didn't choose the 2009 All-Ireland final. It was an intermediate football match that Mulnahone lost against Grange Mokler. Still eating away at him.
Well, as I said, Ronan, wouldn't it be a great occasion?
Just trying to sell tickets here for the county board, that's all I'm doing.
That goes back a couple of generations, the rivalry between Grange Mokler and Mulnahone. If you read the bloody field, isn't it, Michael Foley's
that's
great
right.
book, you realise how powerful football was in that neck of the woods in around that era. And, you know, here 100 years on, they may well be facing into a big clash.
I'm sure that Golden and Ballina have something to say about that.
I agree with you on that too.
Good. And just very quickly, and I'm really up against the clock, Aherlow and Kerr, one of them is going to be going down to intermediate.
Yeah. Both of them have played in county finals in the last 10 years, haven't they?
Just
goes to show if you take your eye off the ball, or if a generation of players goes over and, you know, you're unable to replace them and keep them going. It can go like that. Arlo second year in a row in the relegation final, and Kerr have probably been heading that way for a few years. It'll be disappointing, Ronan, but not a surprise.
You know, Liam Casey's not in that Kerr team. He's out of the country.
Liam Casey's not in the Kerr team. Mark Russell has missed most of the championship. Yeah. Barry Grogan's been carrying an injury. Like, you're beginning to get, you know, you're beginning to
bare bones.
To lose what you're bringing to the table with that. But they'll have a cut off each other to avoid the drop. But, you know, it is disappointing. But I think it may be a period in intermediate football might regenerate, but whichever club does drop down and come back stronger in a few years' time. Please,
Martin, as always, many thanks for your time tonight.
Cheers, Ronan.
Thanks indeed. It's Martin Quinlivan joining us there. Plenty more football to come. We're not finished with football yet. We will come back to it, but I'm going to change codes to rugby for a minute. JJ Killian from Clonmel Rugby Club is on the line. Good evening to you, JJ. JJ should be there. Hello, JJ. See if we can get JJ. JJ might be there on line 3. We'll come back to him in 1 second. Just to give you some of the results in the County Senior Football Championship. You've heard that Loughmore Castellani had a 110-11 point win over Kilshiel and Kilcash. In intermediate football, it finished Galtee Rovers, or it was Ballina 2-12, Galtee Rovers St. Pacons 9 points. In Tom Cusack Cup, Rockwell Rovers 2-16, Ballyporeen 14 points. Bit of a surprise there, Ballyporeen not able to get over Rockwell Rovers. Rockwell Rovers, of course, up from intermediate 2 years ago. Solid side. And then also in the Tom Cusack Cup, you had Killinall 3-16, Mike Harkey Boris 2 points. Still with intermediate, hurling, there was I think it was a preliminary quarterfinal. Knockavilla Dunnasky Kickhams 317, Kappa White 122. In senior football, as we've said, Mild Rovers 12 points, Ard Finnan 11 points. In intermediate football, you had Mullinahone 5-15, big win for them over Loughmore Castellani, second team 1-5. JJ Killian is on the line, line 2. How are you, JJ?
Hi, Ronan.
JJ, we want to talk about women's rugby because it is something that, you know, it should be one of the fastest growing sports in the country right now with the success that our ladies have had at sevens level and to a certain extent at senior level and, if you like, 15 level. And here in Tipperary, we've Dorothy Wall, Amy Lee, you know, flying the flag and showing what can be achieved. Where are we at with ladies football in the county? Or ladies rugby, sorry.
Well, where we're at, Rona, we were some years ago, we were way ahead of the posse. Like back in 2000 and days, our women's team here were the All-Ireland Cup champions. We had a really, really strong team, and it was the platform that launched Niamh Briggs on her Ireland career. But, you know, things change in clubs, and all those women sort of faded away, and we ended up with having no women's team. But we want to turn over a new page now and start a process that will give us a women's team over the next couple of years. And that's our plan. We're starting training next Monday night for girls from 13 years old to 16 years old.
And is that where you start to try and to start coaching girls at that age rather than start to form, I suppose, an adult team straight away?
Well, there's both things going on, Ronan. There's a composite team at the moment between ourselves, Feathered, Carrick and Dungarvan, but none of those clubs can field a full women's team. But we have a strategy here that we want to produce a women's team, full women's team, on the pitch by 2026. We do have, it's not just a matter of let's do some training, we do have a strategy here.
And so your strategy is to develop underage players, coach them properly and keep them in the club. But one of the difficulties, and I'm sure you find this with the male equivalent, is, you know, you train players up to maybe the under 19 level, they all go to college and they transfer their college or their playing allegiances perhaps their colleges. The same might well happen.
Well, it's a problem across it's not just the gender, it's for men as well, as you say. But like you take it at the moment, the clubs are fighting against this. If you take, as you mentioned, Japan there, the women's squad in Japan, four of those women came from the one club in Tullamore. You know, so it can be done at local level. And we are determined to put ourselves back in the women's category and stay there. You know, we have a plan and we're going to follow it.
Why do you think the appetite for it faded a little bit when you've had that success with Niamh Briggs and players of that calibre who were playing in Clonmel, winning with Clonmel, and then there's just nothing to come behind when those players move on?
Yeah, it's one of those things. Clubs, as you know, clubs move in, whether it's Gaelic or rugby or whatever, soccer, clubs move in cycles, and sometimes, you know, you go down into a dip and things change, and sometimes it takes a while to pull it back up to where you were. And we recognise that. Not having women in the club is a big, big loss. It's a deficit as far as we're concerned. But we're determined to put it right now, Ronan, you know?
Well, when I see how many kids are up there on a Saturday morning, JJ, I'm just wondering, you obviously have the capacity for it.
We have girls playing in minis. There are girls under 12 playing minis here at the moment. But we want to go a step above that and speed up the process whereby we can put a teenage team or a full team on the pitch in the next 2 or 3 years. That's our intention.
Obviously, it's a medium-term project and there'll be bumps along the way, but you want as many people up to Ardgíha, what, this Monday night coming, is it?
Yeah, next Monday night, and there'll be fully qualified coaches here. It'll be a fun thing. We'll get people to, you know, they're learning from the absolute basics. They won't know anything about rugby, but we'll take them along over a couple of weeks and learn the basic skills. And we want it to be enjoyable. You know, rugby has to be enjoyable, first off, you know, and that's what we intend to do.
Well, I wish you the very best of luck. I look forward to seeing your progress over the coming years. But as you say, it is the lifeblood of it. You know, it adds so much to any club to have a women's section fully functioning and vibrant. It brings an awful lot. It really does. JJ, I wish you the best of luck. We'll touch base again.
Thank you, Ron. Thank you.
That's JJ Killian, Clonmel Rugby Club. Join us there. Our text number 083-311-3311. You do a lot worse than next Monday night going up and maybe trying it out. Mightn't be for you, might be for you, but sure, give it a lash, see what happens. Our text number 0833 11 33 11. Lots of texts coming in. I'll come to them in due course. Let's keep with football though, because we have we were mentioned already about the Upper Church Drum band game against JK Brackens. They know each other well from both codes. Stephen Gleeson, an unashamedly Upper Church man, is on the line. How are you, Stephen?
Hi, Ronan. How's it going?
I say this every week. You're not surprised by how well Upper Church are doing, but they are turning heads at this stage.
Yeah, absolutely. Look, they're working their socks off there. It's not just this year, really. It's there for the last 5-6 years. Probably started under John Ryan, continued the last while there under Seamus Griffin and Andy Kinnan. And the work has just been going on in Upper Church the last while. And I was just thinking about it after the match the other night, Ronan, there, a great Upper Church man passed away this year, Paddy Whalen. And there's been a lot of loss, really, around the parish. And you start to realise it's your time if you're going to win something, really, and I think that's really hit this group of players. But the success in Upper Church, you trace it back 20 years, a junior county final in 2002, and Paddy Whalen came into the dressing room after that win and he says, "I've one thing to say," and he said, to quote Caesar, "I came, I saw and I conquered." And it's been going on like that since Upper Church won the junior that year against Ballina, and kept going up to intermediate, beat, I think it was Clonmelogue around 2015, 2016 there, went down, played St. Mary's of Carrick-Tyveen, with Maurice Fitzgerald playing for them that time in the intermediate championship. And, you know, the trajectory has just kept rising, got up to senior level and have remained at senior level and now have pushed on for the first time ever into a semi-final at the county championship. So it's a big achievement.
I mean, it was... the game itself, at halftime you had a 3-point lead after, I think it was Paul Shanahan gets the penalty. Lachlan Ryan is challenged by Cuba Began. And that was the difference between the sides throughout, really. It was just that goal incident that allowed you to get your nose in front and keep your nose in front.
Yeah, 1-4 to 4 points at half time, and you know, it was close coming up to the break. Cuba Began, a serious goalkeeper there, but Paul Shanahan buried that penalty just on half time, and from there Upper Church pushed on. And I suppose it's really been Paul Shanahan and Luke Shanahan, his younger brother, that have been the main scorers for Upper Church. Now Luke is a special talent, this guy was playing underage soccer with Cove Ramblers, he was on the minor hurling team of the year there a couple of years ago, was part of Brendan Cummins' defence in the under 20 hurling championship this year, serious soccer player with Clodagh Rangers, serious footballer with Upper Church, and he's going to be a really important player in the years to come for Upper Church in football. An
4 points
footballer.
I think he contributes to the hall.
Yeah, he's serious. He is really talented. And his older brother there is Paul as well. Yeah, and Jack Butler there, another real leader, strong and skillful. Lachlan Ryan, another excellent player. And Conor Fahey, another young player who played with a couple of tip teams up along, a lot of speed. And Michael Lavery there as well, another player with fast feet, very skillful. So look at the Church are really pushing on, I think, at the moment. And that trajectory has been going upwards in football. But, on the other hand, Ronan, though, I don't think the standard is that high in Tipperary, to be honest with you. There's a lot of teams there quite weak, and
there isn't 16 senior football teams at senior level. Is that fair
absolutely.
To say?
Yeah.
I think the county board had a conversation about this last week. I don't know what came of that. I don't know if you have any information on what the plans are, but the system that works in hurling works because it's a very deep pool and it's a shallower pool in football, and perhaps trying to mimic the hurling structure might be folly.
Yeah, I think you're right there. There's not that many teams that are of that level. And even go back to intermediate last year, Grange Mochler are a coming team now, but Drum beat them in the final with largely a hurling team that will focus on hurling this year. So Drum are kind of dropping off a bit, Care are not in the running, Feathered, another traditional powerhouse, are down compared to what they would have been 20 years ago. Towns like Turles and Cashel are playing junior, but the likes of Grange Mochler, you know, is a club on the way back. Ballina, in fairness to them up in North Tip, are doing really well, but there isn't 16 senior teams currently because the standard is huge between the likes of Commercials, Mile Rovers, Lochmore, and then whoever else. And then you have a lower group again that just haven't a hope really of getting to a semi-final. I mean, you look at the county finalists there the last few years, you're looking at Bracken's in a county final, Killinall, Ardfinnan, I think, up to Tredair in the last four this year. But that other three teams are consistently there at that level. And, you know, I think for a really good championship, you need a lot of teams in the running. And that's just not the case currently with football in Tipperary.
I mean, we make the point, and making comparisons perhaps between the Dan Breen and senior football is unfair, right? Because of the depth of the talent. But like, you look at the eight teams that are left in Dan Breen, and I think all eight, you could make an argument for any one of the eight winning it. You can't do that with the eight teams that were left in senior football. And when you see the gulf between Commercials and Arvale Rovers, that really brings it home.
Yeah, I mean, what was that? 21 points to three scores, you know, to 1-2, and that's a huge gulf for people paying into that match, you know, to have such a one-sided game.
As well, don't forget.
Yeah, such a one-sided match there. I don't really know exactly, but I would think that a lot of coaching has to happen within Tipperary football if it's to start to thrive. I mean, it's very hard for inter-county teams to compete even with the likes of Clare and Limerick going forward, where you're basing a lot of the panel on, you know, three or four clubs, and that is really tough, I think, going forward. So there's a bigger question there. There has to be more, maybe, you know, GDAs going in there. There has to be more coaching in the schools, really, and the clubs really have to come back, I suppose, some of those traditional powerhouses and get back strong again. And ultimately, like, that's probably the only thing that will save it, I suppose.
Like Aherlow and Care, one of them's going to go down. And, you know, yeah, when you think about kind of Aherlow and the great players they've produced, the Grogans, Kieran MacDonald, you know, it's just extraordinary to me to consider that Aherlow could be playing intermediate football.
Yeah, I think that change is happening, though. Teams are going down and back up, and there's nobody really challenging the top teams. So you have those three teams, Bracken's are there, thereabouts. Upperchurch have now risen to that rank of semi-finalists. Kilsheelan, Ardfinnan, they're up there. But I mean, you go to you know, the teams maybe in the Tom Cusack Cup, and some of them are taking hurling very serious and not
Drum and
much.
Inch, let's just take Drum and Inch for example.
Football.
Congratulations to them, Drum and Inch in football. Well, you know, not like at the start of the year, I don't think Drum and Inch have any aspirations of doing particularly well in football, but they were very keen to preserve their senior status.
Yeah, look, there's great footballers in Drum and Inch there. I mean, the likes of Tommy Nolan play there back in the day with Charlie McGeever and Shane Stavelson's minor team that got to the All-Ireland final. They have a few lads like that, Maloney there as well.
Jamie
Cameron
Maloney's
is a fine footballer too. But at the same time, hurling is the priority there. And like, there's a few teams like that that will focus maybe on one sport. The likes of Upperchurch, Bracken, Lochmore will just focus on the next game, whatever the sport is. But, you know, on a county-wide scale, the county championship needs some sort of rejigging because there's not 16 senior teams. There's not teams that are capable of taking on even the teams below Commercials at this stage, you know. So that's going to be an issue, I think, going forward for the Tip Championship, to keep it competitive, to keep those groups alive. There has to be competition there, and there's not really with that many teams as it stands at the minute. So definitely some sort of rejigging is going to have to be done in the next while with the Football Championship.
I think I agree with you. All right, Stephen, we've got to go. Talk soon, my friend.
Thanks, Ronan.
Take care. Stephen Gleeson, join us there. Lots more to come on Extra Time tonight, 083-311-3311. And we turn our attention next to Camogie. Geraldine Canan's on the line. Geraldine, how are you?
How you doing, Ronan?
What a fascinating weekend. I saw, I don't know, it was possibly yourself tweeted, it came from the Camogie board tweet. The amount of highlights, you struggled to fit them all in one tweet. What a caught Devan score, just the two goals? And
Yeah, I put that myself. I suppose I was at the Newport and Clare game, and you know, Roisin Howard lit it up there for a while, and Ashley Maloney came on. I was saying it was brilliant.
Orlo Dwyer comes back.
Ashley Maloney came on as well.
Yeah, sorry.
Yeah, and then I just seen Shane Brophy's tweet saying how Cott Devan scored 2-12, and I just thought it was brilliant. And then I was checking in on my own home club and hear Michelle Woodlock come on and score the goal.
Yes,
in
the pint. That was it. She only had a baby relatively recently.
Yeah. So it was just, you know, I suppose I was just trying to highlight a few of the highlights of the, you know, extra kind of, I suppose, subplots and side stories to that goes along with the great matches that we're having. And you know, I'm really a big fan of the club championship, and I just think it's been excellent so far this year, and you know, it's only going to get better in the next few weeks as well.
And you're down to, I think you've two quarterfinals, haven't you?
Yeah, in the senior, so it's going to be two quarterfinals, and the group winners Cashel and Drum top the group, get a bye, I suppose, straight into a semi-finals. So second in Burgess Dwyer will play third in the other group, Aerog and Carty, and then Clonty Rossmore as runners-up will play Turles Arfield in the other quarter-final. So they're due to take place next weekend. I don't have, I'm waiting on the email of the fixture, but hasn't come through yet, so but we'll have that shortly.
That Clonelty Turles quarter-final, I think, will be something.
Yeah, it should be very good, you know. Turles, I suppose, wouldn't have been happy with their performance against Burgess Dwyer in their last group game, but I suppose they knew more or less that they were qualified. So, but I expect a big bounce back from them and a big, big performance from against Clonty Rossmore. They, you know, they played very well against Clonty last year in the group games. There was nothing between them, maybe 3 points is all. I do think Clonty are looking a bit stronger this year than probably last year. I was very impressed with them so far this year, and seeing them score 6 goals and 22 points, very ruthless there against Nina at the weekend. And, you know, they're eyeing up, you know, winning a county final, and they'll probably go in as favourites against Turles Arfield. But, you know, that's a good Turles Arfield side, you know, some good young players coming through as well. And, you know, it should be a cracker of a game. But, you know, I think there's going to be something in Anacarty as well. You know, they did well against Drum at the weekend. And wasn't too much in a 2-12 to 1-7 final score. They're a physical team, you know, there's signs of improvement there. And, you know, I expect a big game from them as well against Burgess Dwyer next weekend.
Yeah, I mean, you're looking at that, and Silver Mines weren't that far away over Burgess Dwyer, so they've contributed significantly to a championship that you've lauded as being really exciting and the good quality so far. You've 6 teams left in it.
Yeah, I suppose Silver Mines will be kicking themselves. You know, they got off to a bad start in the championship, and you know, I suppose there's no easy games in their group. But you know, even if they had sort of, you know, got the cobwebs off, maybe with an easier pairing or something in their first round or something, but they just started slowly and just seem to be improving the last few games. But you know, it's just too little too late. But they certainly did themselves proud, I suppose, against Burgess Dwyer going down there. I think it was 1-12 to 10 points the final score, and you know, I think they meet Nina now in a league final or a Shield final or something, so they still have something to play for. And but you know, definitely it is very competitive now when it gets to this stage, you know, when you have the top 6 teams, you know, very little between them, and you know, anybody can be caught now the next day.
You've intermediate championship as well. Now we still have another round of group stages to go in intermediate championship, don't we?
Yeah, some teams have only one round and some have 2 rounds. So just fly through the results there. Borland Dwella had a good win over Tumivara, 5-18 to 5-4. Clare then lost at home to Newport Ballinhinch, 2-9 to 2-10, and then Bursley beat Shannon Rovers, 1-7 to 9 points. So at the moment, Bursley are sitting on top of that group. Newport are in second, Shannon Rovers third, and Clare fourth. But Killawan McDonald's have only 4 games played, so does Boherland. So still all to play for in that. And so next weekend's round of fixtures is going to be very interesting to see. And, you know, they're all fighting for the top 4 places. And look, when that gets to semi-final stage, you're going to have 2 cracking semi-finals as well. And literally a toss of the coin between those teams.
Yeah, I mean, the quality's been excellent. It's great to talk about it. There's one fly in the ointment, and I'm not trying to pour a negative on so much positivity, but like ladies football and Camogie had big games on the same weekend, and there are girls who are playing 2 games in the same day.
Yeah, look,
I know we can go over this every year.
I don't know. To be honest, it's just it's just the time. And maybe it's a simplistic answer, but I always just say there's literally not enough days in the week, you know. I mean, I'm already looking ahead for the fixtures to come out and hoping they're not clashing with hurling, never mind clashing with ladies football as well. It's just, you know, every parish is just so involved, families involved with hurling, football, Camogie, ladies football, and it's just, there's going to be clashes the whole time. Like, I do know for a fact that they sit down at the start of the year and they try as best they can for clashes, and fixtures go out and as best they can, there's some clashes, but then clubs chop and change to suit girls working and suit pitches and different things. And look, you know, every case is different. I don't know which case in particular talking about, so I can't really speak for it. But
I know, but I know, mean, like, I mean, not to, like, Feather had senior football in Inter, and I think junior Camogie. My Rovers had senior football, junior Camogie. There was others. I think Carrick were probably.
Yeah, because another issue as well, because I know it's bought up the whole time. And in fairness to the fixtures committee, they're saying, you know, referees as well, they can't have all the matches. But, you know, some people say, why can't Camogie be Saturday and play football on Sunday, but you just wouldn't have enough. Most referees are out twice, three times at the weekend, and as well as that, some clubs have two teams, and they've looked for matches on different days because they've same management and same panel of players. So, you know, there isn't an easy solution. Then you look at games, trying to have games earlier in the day, and a lot of girls are working and they're students and different things. So everyone wants evening games. So I don't know what the solution is, but obviously it's not ideal. And like you said, it's not a positive to have two games in two days. Or two matches in a day, sorry.
I appreciate that, and I don't mean to put you on the spot, but I would say it doesn't happen in men's. You know, it doesn't really happen that a fella will play two matches in the same weekend. But I don't know, maybe that's because there's more coordination, because there's one organisation, while in ladies' equivalent, you're looking at two different organisations. Is there any...
Yeah, and I suppose as well as that, you know, I suppose in Camogie Ladies Football, you're working around the guys' matches as well for pitches and
the
stuff.
The pitches,
so,
you are, yeah.
You know, we're trying to put time matches on when it's not clashing with, you know, you're looking for your home pitch, and it could be... Never mind your own club hurling team or football team could be playing. There'll be neutral games and divisional and semi-finals put in that field as well. So, you know, it's an impossible job, really, fixtures. And, like I said, I don't know what the solution is, really.
Anyway, more importantly, we've got six teams left in the senior championship, and they'll all fancy their chances at this stage. Cashel and Drum straight into a semi-final, and then it's Clonelty against Thurles Sarsfields and
Burgess to Harris and a Carty.
Yeah. Many thanks indeed.
Thanks,
appreciate that. Take it easy. That's Geraldine Canan, and apologies if I put her on the spot a little bit there, but it is an issue that arises from time to time when people have to play two games in the same day when they're playing senior football maybe, and then maybe junior camogie on the same day. Difficult. Tony Smith is on the line to talk ladies football. Hey, Tony.
How are you, Ronan?
Did you take my point about that, Tony, that sometimes it is unfortunate when players have to play two games in the same day?
Oh, very unfortunate, and really shouldn't happen. Even the situation at the moment where they're playing camogie on Saturday and football on Sunday is very, very difficult when you're doing it on a regular basis.
But if you're supposing if you're Feathert or Mile Rovers and you've got a senior football semi-final, county seniors football semi-final on a Sunday, and then you might have a junior camogie match on a Saturday, you know, you're kind of half saving yourself for the Sunday, weren't you?
Well, at the same time, I must admire the commitment that they show. It doesn't seem to matter whether it's senior or junior or camogie or football, but the commitment is fantastic, you know, no matter what day they play it on. And, you know, but as you say, it's not ideal, and this has happened in the past at inter-county level.
It has. I mean, God almighty, Orla Dwyer, I think, had to be helicoptered from one place to another during the course of
the
match.
I think she was just lucky that day that the two vineyards were Nina and the Rag. Yeah. Otherwise, it would be a helicopter job.
Yeah, no, it's extremely difficult. Anyway, let's talk, because we had two great games in the Senior Football Championship. Feathert overcoming Mile Rovers, despite your prediction earlier, Tony. I just thought I'd remind you that. And with the last kick, of the game, Brian Brews overcoming a super Aherlow side.
Well, in fairness, in the Mile Rovers Feathert game, I did feel that it could go either way, and I suppose I was wearing my Mile Rovers hat at that moment in time.
Appreciate
but at the same time, look, Feathert have had a great campaign this year, and they have suddenly come forward again. Like, they had fantastic progress for a number of years, plateaued, and now they've moved on to a different level again. And on the day, they did deserve to win it. Both teams actually had more chances than they took. I mean, Feathert had a lot of wides, and Mile Rovers had one or two very clear-cut goal chances. Probably a penalty as well that wasn't given, but there you go.
Yeah, and Feathert, fair play to them. Is that their first time in the final in many years, I'd say?
Oh, I would say it's probably the first time, Ronan, because, I mean, that group of players started off underage and came up through junior, intermediate, and into senior, you know. So you'd be going back a long time, you know. I don't know how long the Feathert club is there, but it wouldn't be way, way back, you know.
But, like, you've the likes of... Michael Spillane on the sideline, along with Willie Morrissey, fellas who've soldiered with Tip senior footballers who are now throwing their weight behind the ladies team. So that does, you know, rising tide, floating boats, all of that sort of thing.
Oh, it does, yeah. It's wonderful having people like that, the experience that they bring to the scene. And of course, Michael has four daughters on the team,
yes,
all of whom contribute greatly to the team, you know.
Willie's
daughter was the goal yesterday, and she did really well.
Yeah, it just shows, I mean, where the lifeblood of that club comes from then as a result of the energy that they bring. But all credit to the girls for performing on the pitch as well. Brian Brews, it's a Brian Brews team, I don't think, without Mairead Morrissey playing with them at the minute, but they're still good enough to overcome Aherlow. That was a real titanic clash.
That was a great game of football. And again, you know, like, you think of Brian Burroughs, they lost the county final last year to Arlow with a last second, literally, goal into the top corner of the net. They lost in 2019 to Arlow by a point. And yesterday they won it with a last minute goal to the top corner of the net. So it just goes to show, you know, but Brian Burroughs are always a difficult team to beat. And you mentioned my Ray Morrissey there, but they have these experienced players over the years. But their county players yesterday really stepped up to the mark, like Laura Morrissey, Cleaned Ware, Maureen Murphy. They were excellent. And having Caoimhe Condon back was a huge asset to them.
It begs the question then, who has the momentum going into the final? Feather Tour there, first time in many, many years. Brian Burroughs, well used to finals, not necessarily well used to winning finals, but maybe that is the motivation they need.
It is, and it's going to be a very difficult one to call, because you're talking, as you say, about two different teams, really.
They're on different trajectories, yeah.
Correct, and also from the point of view of the profiles of the teams, you know, that Feather would be probably overall a more youthful side with a lot of energy, whereas you're up against the experience of Brian Burroughs. Now, Feather yesterday were surprisingly wavered with their shooting, which I saw them in two matches previously, and they were very efficient. But yesterday, for some reason, whether it was the pressure of the occasion or what, I don't know, but they kicked a lot of wides, which they normally don't do. Whereas the other game was a very, very tight game. You know, it could have gone either way. Arlo came back from 2 points down going into the closing minutes, and then you got this goal from Alana English, which was actually a super goal.
Yeah, it is. When is that final? Probably a fortnight's time, is it?
The 2nd of October.
Okay, it's a good way.
And again, like, you have this situation, Ronan, that there are 7 finals in ladies football down for the 2nd of October. Now, if you're going to play 7 finals on the same day, you're probably going to need at least 3 venues, you know.
Yes.
Now, last year what happened was the Senior B final, if you remember, was played on the Friday night on the all-weather pitch in UL, which wasn't ideal. And then there was a couple of finals played on the Saturday, and then there was more finals played on the Sunday. But I don't know if that's a runner with the Camogie and all that.
Well, it's as Geraldine just said to us earlier on the show, you know, who'd be a fixture secretary? It's extremely difficult to fix matches because, you know, I'd say as soon as the game is over in Banff on Sunday, people are getting into their cars to get into Clonmel to the Mile Rovers Ard Finnan match. So people are on the move constantly,
yeah,
you know.
Yeah. But the thing about it is that if they do go ahead on the Sunday the 2nd, you are going to have that situation, you know. And like, 3 matches at one venue is tough going.
Oh yeah, absolutely. And trying to get refs and all the rest, difficult, you know, extremely.
Because I went to the 2 matches in Latin yesterday as well, and the same referee did the 2 games.
Yeah, it is a big ask, no two ways about it. Tony, I got to fly. Good talking to you. We'll preview that final in due course.
Thanks
indeed. That's Tony Smith joining us there with his view on ladies football. Feather overcoming Mile Rovers, Brian Burroughs overcoming Aherlow in the county senior football semi-finals. Just before we go, David Burns is on the line. David, how are you?
I'm great, Ronan. How are you?
I'm good. I'm flying through the show tonight as usual, but a bit of time to talk greyhound racing, particularly because we want to talk about Tipperary success and Tipperary trainers getting to the Derby in the final of the Derby, which is, you know, the pinnacle really of Irish greyhound season.
Yes, absolutely. And I suppose, look, we had 7 of the last 11 trained in Tipperary, for 5 of those, unfortunately, they didn't make it through to Saturday night's big one, the final, but 2 Tipperary trainers did. And Owen McKenna there in New Inn, he's certainly been the man to follow in the last couple of years in the Derby. If you go back a couple of years, he had a greyhound called Pistana. He got a terrible draw in the final of the Derby in Trap 5, and he just got a serious injury and had to go to stud. And then last year, he had the brilliant Susie Sapphire. She was drawn in Trap 1 in the final, and she went on through the Derby unbeaten. Now, Owen McKenna is in line to go through the Derby unbeaten again on Saturday night with Trap number 1 Callaway Pro-Am. And if it was to happen, I think it's a record that probably would never, ever be achieved again. Callaway Pro-Am ideally drawn for the final on Saturday night. But the other Tipperary...
Do you think Trap 1 is an ideal draw?
It's an ideal draw for him, Ronan. The incredible thing about Saturday night's final is the way the greyhounds have been drawn out was absolutely, you couldn't have placed them in better traps. Bally McFinn, who had won his last 2 races in Trap 1, has a tendency to move right after leaving the traps. He's got an ideal draw in Trap 4. Born Warrior is the greyhound, the other Tipperary greyhound, trained by Jennifer O'Donnell and her late father, Matt O'Donnell, who would have trained many a Derby winner over the years, both sides of the Irish Sea, is drawn in 5. This greyhound doesn't stay the strongest, but what he has got possesses is an amazing dash of early pace. We expect him to lead in from trap five on Saturday night. I'm expecting Callaway Pro-Am to break well from trap number one. And then I think Barnes Warrior will lead around the opening two bends. Callaway Pro-Am is a strong back straight runner. But the big, big greyhound in this final that everyone is talking about is trap two, Crafty Kokora. She's been incredible coming home. She's known more for six bend activity, but she's into the final of the Derby on Saturday night over 550. So if there's any mistake from the greyhounds, that'll set an early challenge. And if she gets a clear run, she could be a massive, massive danger at 5-1. But on the draw, I'm with Callaway Pro-Am for Owen McKenna. I think he's ideally housed. He's the 9-4 favourite. And I think he will win and go back-to-back for Owen McKenna in this year's Derby.
Well, that is quite a training accomplishment, isn't it?
It's incredible. And yeah. I said it before, it really is incredible. You know, we talk about, you know, many a time on this show about the horse racing and the training from Aidan O'Brien sending runners. But when you think about Owen McKenna, he has an amazing setup here in County Tipperary. He's a wonderful trainer. He's a great guy, great personality as well. And he really knows how to turn out his greyhounds. And to be back here again and to be going for two greyhound derbies in a row unbeaten, like, this is dream stuff. And Callaway Pro-Am, I have to say, you know, he's done everyone proud. And look, best of luck to all six finalists, because it has the making of an absolutely tremendous race. And we're just fingers crossed that all greyhounds come home safely on the night and the best dog or best bitch wins on the night.
Always an education, David. Many thanks for joining us.
Thank you, Ron, and talk to you soon.
Thanks indeed. That's David Burns. That's all we've time for, I'm afraid. Ian O'Connor produced. We'll be back with you next Monday night. Good night and God bless.
The Best of Tip Awards.
Get nominating today.
Tip FM. Tip FM's Extra Time with Ronan Quirk. Online.
On your smartphone.
On your smart speaker.
Play Tip FM.